Can we turn in our Bibles to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 15 of the chapter this morning. Philippians chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 15. Philippians 3, verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts.
The field, but rather than the numbers diminished, they actually increased as time went past, and we had a very good number of visitors that came in from the area. On the second Monday night, there was a couple that had been there a few nights before. We'd encouraged them to stay for supper. They said previously, we just live here beside the field, we'll just go home and boil the kettle ourselves. But on the Monday night, there was a change. When they were invited, they said, yes, we'll come in for supper tonight. And they waited behind after. They were very keen to speak. They thought it was too late. They said, we'll talk to you another night. Well, I thought if the Lord's speaking to these people, another night could be disastrous. So we encouraged them to wait behind, took them over into the tent, and they started off with the question, how do you know when it's the right time to get saved? So that's how the conversation began. And before they left that night, both husband and wife together called on the Lord for salvation. So we rejoiced, and that was great encouragement to the folk. They've been back in the tent several times since that. And we know that others, from testimonies of family members and so on, others have been clearly spoken to through that mission as well. I'll tell you just something else about that in a moment or two, but I'll read the scriptures to you first of all. We're in Luke chapter 12 and the 13th verse. It tells us, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Just a wee word of prayer together, please. Father, we thank you for the blessing of being here in thy house today. Thank you for all that are present. We remember that you're the God that knows the hearts of all men. You know the condition of each one spiritually that's gathered here before thee today. And Father, our prayer is that you'll bless our time around thy word. We bow on our need and our weakness. We pray, Father, that you would come and give help, give utterance, grant liberty today. We ask that in this place there will be a real sense of the Lord amongst us and with us. Give us that Emmaus Road experience. It tells us that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And Lord, may we feel and sense thee drawing near to us today. And our prayer, Father, is that you'll speak, and especially speak savingly, from the youngest right up to the very oldest. May the voice of God be heard. We would count it, Father, a great mercy and a great blessing to hear your voice today. And especially, Father, we want to pray that you'll speak savingly. Speak in salvation, blessing. May the effectual call of the gospel message be sounded forth in this house today. So here, these are prayers. And we just pray that you'll still us now. You've said, be still and know that I am God. May you still the meeting and still our hearts. And Lord, in this meeting in our midst, may there be a real sense of God being here and being amongst us. And may the Spirit of God come down mightily upon us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The words of that 20th verse, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? During the time of that gospel mission, there was two funerals took place in our congregation within 3 days of each other. One was a man of 97 years of age. He was an uncle of mine, came from Minterburn, near to Auchnacloy. He came down to Sainfield way back in 1939. He had seen an advertisement in the paper. Mr. Sam Shaw, who had been known to some of you in the meeting, had advertised the post. He wanted a lorry driver to go around the country picking up the milk cans that were used on the farm in those days. So he applied, was successful, came down in 1939. He went to a social with another neighbour who had been known to some of you, Mr. Moore Dodd, the late Moore Dodd. They went, and that's where he met my aunt for the first time. My father's eldest sister, Margaret, or Madge, as she was known. They were married 2 years later, in 1941. They'd almost reached their 70th wedding anniversary when she died almost 6 years ago. The family had written to the palace, and then they had the right again to say that she had died, but the palace sent them a lovely letter of condolence that my uncle was very proud in showing to him. It was through her witness that he came to the Saviour. He died on the Thursday as a result of a chest infection that he'd been battling for a couple of weeks. And then on the Friday, we had the very sad and tragic news of the death of one of our members, Mrs. Thelma Gorman, just 67 years of age, died on the farm as a result of an incident with one of the cows. She was a very well-known Simmental breeder all across Northern Ireland. She had the distinction of being the only lady ever to be the chairperson of the Northern Ireland Simmental Breeders Association. She had held that position on two occasions. At first it was thought her injuries weren't too severe. They had sent for the ambulance, and they felt it was needful to send for the air ambulance. The helicopter came, and they strapped her in and carried her onto the helicopter just ready to take off. And then they stopped the propellers, and they summoned the other paramedics to come with great speed. Her condition had worsened, and she took a very speedy turn for the worse, and her condition went downhill very, very quickly, and she died just there in the field where the helicopter was sitting. So you can appreciate it stunned not just our church, but it stunned the community. They had been members of the Armagh Church for well over 45 years. Her husband is a converted Roman Catholic. The Dungannon Church is holding its 50th anniversary services this week and over the next couple of weeks. And he was converted at Dr. Paisley's tent mission in Dungannon 50 years ago in 1967. His family disowned him at the time that he came to know the Saviour. And then afterwards, he joined the RUC, and that made things much worse in the relationship with his family at that time. Thelma Gorman was the sort of person you couldn't help but make friends with. She won you over immediately with her personality and her smile and her bubbly way just of speaking to everyone that she met. It was a very large funeral. Some estimated 800 people that attended the funeral from all over Northern Ireland. The funeral service in the church was to be at 1:30. There was people there before 11 o'clock from as far away as Larne. And people had been there earlier just to find the church, went down the town for a wee cup of tea or a wee look round before the service commenced. Any place in the church, we could put a seat. We placed a seat. We filled the hall downstairs, 145 people downstairs, and we relayed the service down, and 50 people or so stood along the back. The papers actually took up the story. You may have seen the reports, especially that front page headline in the newsletter on the Monday morning, "Ready for Eternity," which certainly was her testimony. So the Lord spoke greatly through that event. One of the things I wanted to emphasize to you by way of introduction, her mother and father both were Christian people, knew the Lord. Her mother's still alive, lost her son last May as well. Two children died within 15 months of each other. She's now 89 years of age. It has been a great blow to her, great shock. She had depended much on Thelma. But Thelma's mother and father were personal friends with noted evangelists in this country, such as Edmund Sanford. The Reverend McRae came to faith under the ministry of Edmund Sanford. And also another noted evangelist with IEB called Frank Marshall, who also did a great work for the Lord. When Peter and Thelma were married, both of those evangelists and Dr. S.B. Cook and so on were all present at the funeral. There's a story about Frank Marshall that is well known about his ministry. Frank Marshall, when he was holding a mission on one occasion, he was doing the doors in that area. That's the way he would work. He would go out and do the doors during the day, and he would preach at the meetings in the evening. And he saw a farmer out working in the field. It was the autumn, the harvest time. And he went up across the field to speak to this man personally, to invite him to come along to the meetings. And the farmer wasn't a man that was very interested or very sympathetic to the gospel. In fact, he went mad whenever Mr. Marshall spoke to him to that day or that day. And he chased him out of the field with a pitchfork that he was using to do his work. As that mission was coming near an end, Mr. Marshall saw the same man in the field again, still working, gathering in the harvest. And he thought of the man's soul, and he was concerned for him. And he thought he would go up across the field and give him another invitation out to the mission just before it came to a close. As he approached where the man was standing, he saw that there was no movement. And you know what he found? He found the man dead, standing in the field, leaning on his pitchfork, leaning on the very same pitchfork that he had chased him from the field with some days before. That story is the story of the tragic death of a farmer at harvest time. But men and women, it's even more than that, because it was the tragic death of an unconverted farmer. And how sad, how solemn that thought is. And remember, that's the story of this text and of this passage. It's the story of the death of a farmer. Here's a farmer who was successful in his business. His farm was doing well. Here's a man that was prosperous. He was making a lot of money. But the reality is he dies. And he dies tragically. And he dies without God's salvation. And perhaps, men and women, the same will be true of some here in this meeting this morning. Maybe you'll die without Christ. Die unconverted. I want you to think of that. The awful and solemn reality of that. And there's some important points just about this farmer's death I want to stress with you in the meeting this morning. Notice we're told here about a strength. Isn't it true that farmers are men with great physical strength? That was especially true of former generations, whenever there wasn't as much farm machinery to help with the work. In those days, all the work, all the labour was done what we would call manually, done by hand. Some of you here are old enough to remember the turning of the hay with a fork, the bringing in of the barley in the bags, the scattering of the manure with a fork, the thresher, the binder, the milk in the cans, and all the other manual work that had to be done in those days. There was hard work to be done as you lived the life of a farmer. And you had to be strong in body. It's true that farmers are strong men. And the man that the Saviour speaks of here in this passage, he was a man that was strong physically. For one thing, he was young. How do we know that? Well, the scriptures tell us, the man said, he had much goods laid up for many years. So here's a man that was expecting to live for a long time. The idea is of a young man, and he had all his life before him. And as well as being young, he was healthy. How do we know that? Well, he was out in the field. He was working hard. He was bringing in the harvest. So the picture that is set forth here in this portion of Scripture is of a man that is healthy and a man that is strong, a man in the very prime of life, a man without any ailments. And maybe that's your condition today. And if it is, that's something to thank God for. Remember, you should come to God's house on the Lord's Day with thankful hearts, to give him thanks for every blessing. And if you're here today in good health, with sound body and sound mind, that's something to thank the Lord for. My wife's uncle was very friendly with Edmund Sanford, the missionary or the evangelist I mentioned to you. He would have moved his caravan and helped him as he moved from location to location in all the missions that he held. Mr. Sanford was with him one day on the farm. They went to look at some cattle, and my wife's uncle looked around the field and he just simply made the comment, as a farmer would, "They're all here and they're all well." And Mr. Sanford immediately said back to him, "That's something to be thankful for. We'll just bow our heads and thank the Lord for that now." It's not the right attitude to live with. Thankful hearts. Thank the Lord for every blessing. And I encourage you to do that. Maybe you're a farmer here this morning and all your cattle were present in the field and they're all well, or the sheep, whatever the case may be. That's something to thank the Lord for. And thank him for the health you have. But if you're here today in good health, maybe in the prime of life, there's something you need to remember, something you need to take note of about this man, because that's when he died. He died in his prime. And what a warning that is, men and women. Can I stress to you today, the Bible nowhere promises that you will live to be old. Do you remember the words of Job? It says, "Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age." It doesn't say an old age. It's different for every person. The Lord in his sovereignty has determined how long every one of us is going to live. You think of Barzillai. He died when he was old, when he was frail. He was 80 years of age, 80 years, as he said himself. But what a contrast here. This man died when he was young, when he was strong, when he was in the full bloom, the full vigor of life. So I want you to remember this morning, there's no guarantee, none whatsoever, that you're going to live to be old. And what that means, men and women, is this, simply this. You need to get saved. And you need to get saved today. You need to get saved now, while you still can, and while there's still opportunity. His strength. I want you to think as well as about his substance. Verse 16 says, "The ground of a certain rich man, brought forth plentifully. This farmer was a man that was wealthy. He was a man of substance. He had made a lot of money. And because of the good harvest that he just experienced, his fortune had just increased. So he was a man of substance. Perhaps there's some people of that nature in the meeting this morning. Maybe you own a lot of property. You're worth a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you got it honestly, and so long as your money and your property's not your God. But if you do have a wee bit of wealth and your life is taken up with it, there's an important question you need to ask yourself, and it's found there at the end of verse 20. And the question is, whose then shall those things be which thou hast provided? You think of that. Whenever you die, who shall those things be? Who will have all that you possess? Who will have it when you're gone? Who will fight over it when you're no longer here? That's a good question, isn't it? The Saviour had been asked in verse 13, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. Isn't that interesting? Disputes among families over wills and property and inheritance, it's nothing new. It took place even in Bible times. Even the Lord Jesus had to deal with those sort of situations. But men and women, take time this morning to consider the question. When you're dead and gone and no longer here, who will have your wealth? Well, one thing is certain, and that is that you won't have it. The psalmist said, for he saith that the wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. And I want you to take that in, because that is what will happen to you. Whenever you die, you're going to leave your wealth. You're going to leave your land, your property, your money. You'll leave it all to others. Think of Alexander the Great. Lamented, are there no more worlds, no more kingdoms for me to conquer. Did you know when Alexander the Great died that he requested that his hands be placed upon his chest with the palms outward? Do you know the reason behind that? He wanted everyone to know, as they passed by his mortal remains, as they carried him to the grave, they wanted him to know that he left this world with nothing. He had amassed a great amount of wealth during his short lifetime, but he left it all behind. It's good to remember that, men and women. You can labor all your life, and some of you have, to build up a vast property portfolio, a vast empire that's maybe worth a fortune. But I want to remind you this morning, you're not going to take it with you. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, just as sure as the certainty of death, men and women. Here's something else that is absolutely certain. It is certain we will carry nothing out. And I want you to be clear about that fact. You won't take anything with you when you die. Death is a separation. In fact, that word separation is a good definition of death. It's the separation of the soul from the body. And it will separate you from your wealth, from your riches, from your land, from all that you possess. And it will separate you from those things forever. You remember the old gospel hymn, at the river, you leave it all behind. Can I ask you, men and women, would that not warn you today of the need, the great need, the greatest need that you have? And that is to be in possession of something that you can never lose. Do you know what you need today most of all? You need Christ and his salvation. So I say to you, men and women, in the face of the certainty of death, you need to be saved today, and you need to be absolutely sure about it. So his strength, his substance. I want you to think in the third place about his season. Solomon said, To everything there is a season. There's a time to be born, and there is a time to die. You think of the question, when did this farmer die? At what season of the year? Well, it's clear from the passage it was harvest time. It was the time of ingathering. In other words, we could say it was a very busy time of the year. Probably, for the farmer, the busiest time of all. And you know, men and women, there's a very powerful lesson there. And the lesson is, you might be too busy to eat, too busy to talk. Sometimes that happens on the farm. Too much going on to come in for your dinner. You might be too busy to eat. You might be too busy to talk. You're maybe far too busy to pray, far too busy to go to church, far too busy to spend time with your family. But remember this, men and women, you won't be too busy to die. Want to impress that solemn truth upon your heart? A farmer once saw the minister coming down the yard. It was a very busy day for the farmer. And he shouted to the minister before he got anywhere near to where he was, shouted up across the yard, "Don't be coming here today. I'm far too busy to have any time to talk to you." The minister just calmly, quietly said back, "Just let me ask you one question. If I was death coming down across the yard today, would you still say I'm too busy?" The fact is, men and women, you're never too busy to die. Death never takes account of where you are. Death never takes account of what you're doing or how much you've still to do or what plans you're making or what plans you're seeking to implement and put into place. You know, there are those who have died in church, sitting in the pew. There are those who have died in the pulpit. Our brother Peter Lund, that plays the organ in Martyrs. We were very friendly. I went to Martyrs. It was my home church. Went to the youth fellowship with our brother Peter many years ago. He told us of the Methodist church just off the Ravenhill Road that they grew up in. One Sunday the minister was preaching. Didn't feel very well. Took a couple of steps back. Sat down in the seat in the pulpit and died. Death doesn't take account of where you are. You can die in the church, can die in the pulpit. You'd even die at a family wedding. I had a great aunt, and she died on the day of her granddaughter's wedding. The fact is, men and women, you're never too busy to die. Can I ask you, what of you today? What if you died today? What if you died this autumn, this harvest time? What if the grim reaper came now and put in the sickle and cut you down? What then? Or you might argue, and you might want to argue it very strongly, it'll never happen to me. Well, remember, men and women, this man died suddenly. His death came without warning, came unexpectedly. His death would have been a shock to the family and a shock to the community. You ever read that in the obituaries in the paper? Or nowadays there's the funeral times on the internet. So-and-so died suddenly, died unexpectedly. Remember, he was young. He was in the full vigor of life. He thought he would live for many more harvests and many more years, but he didn't. In just a few hours before the morning dawned, he was dead and he was gone. And his soul was in hell. So I ask you again, what if you died today? What if you died at this autumn, this harvest time? How would it be with you? You any hope for eternity? You think of the words of the Lord to this man this night. We can apply that to this meeting and say this day. This is a vital day. This night that is coming could be a vital night for you. A day of destiny, a night of destiny. This could be your last day here upon this earth. And that means you need to be ready for eternity. You think of those great words of Jeremiah. The harvest is past, the summer is ended. and we are not saved. Another summer gone, another harvest over, and still you're not right with God. Think of all the opportunities the Lord has given. The hymn writer said, many summers you have wasted. Not just one. That's how it was with Israel when Jeremiah spoke those words. Just one summer, just one harvest. But many summers you have wasted. Ripened harvests you have seen. Winter snows by spring have melted. And still you linger in your sin. How fearful that is, men and women. One other thing I want you to see, and that is this man's soul. The text says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We don't know what was the cause of this man's death. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible doesn't say whether it was an accident or an illness that took his life. We don't know how he died physically. But one thing we do know, men and women, for sure is this. We know how he died spiritually. Because he died unsaved. He died without Christ as a saviour. The fact is, this man's soul was lost. And I want you to ponder that reality. And if you're still out of Christ, you need to ponder that could be an awful reality for you too. The words there in the middle of verse 17, those two words, no room. Those two words sum up this man's life. He had no room on his farmyard. He had been blessed by the Lord with a bountiful harvest, something he never acknowledged. Remember, the ground brought forth, and that's the Lord's doing. It's a result of his blessing. But this man had no room on his farm. He had no room to bring in the harvest. He was going to have to knock the farm down. He was in a building program. But you know something even far worse, men and women, than no room for the harvest? And that was, he had no room for the Lord. Those words sum him up to a T. Here's a man that had no room for the gospel, no room for salvation, room for business, room for pleasure, but for Christ the crucified. There wasn't a place, not a place, that he could enter in his heart for which he died. Those words describe this man. And maybe they describe you as well. Here's a man that was planning for time. He was planning to live a comfortable life in the future. But he had made no plans for eternity. And men and women, that is the greatest folly of all. That's why the Lord called this man a fool. Because he had no thoughts for eternity. He had no preparations made for his soul as far as its eternal destination was concerned. There was a famous pastor in the First Baptist Church of Dallas for many years. George W. Truett. He ministered there for well over 40 years. He was invited out to the ranch of a very wealthy Texan. After they'd had dinner together, the man took Dr. Truett up onto the roof of his house. Wanted to show off his ranch and his property. He pointed in one direction and there was oil derricks that were pumping oil from the ground. In another direction there was lovely meadows of grass and the cattle grazing. In another direction there was all the fields of grain. And in the final direction all the forests right across the hillside. He said, Dr. Truett, when I came here 25 years ago, I didn't have a thing. But I've worked hard. I've really worked hard. And now everything that you can see in every direction is mine. And he waited for some words of praise, commendation from the preacher, but they didn't come. The preacher tenderly and lovingly put his hand on the man's shoulder. And he pointed up to heaven and he asked him the question, how much do you own in that direction? Not a good question, men and women. You know, maybe you're like that man. Completely taken up with this world. Completely taken up with what you own here. But you have no thought of heaven, no thought of your soul, no thought of preparation for eternity. Can I ask you today, is it well with thee Not thinking, is it well with you physically? Those things are important. Not asking, is it well with you socially, or is it well with you financially? Not asking, is it well with you in business? And those things have their place. What we're asking today, men and women, is it well with you spiritually? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with you in the light of God's great eternity? How is it with your soul? Can you say today, with deep confidence and assurance in your heart, your soul is saved? You think of a girl getting engaged, and her boyfriend comes with the engagement ring in a lovely black velvet box, and he opens up the box, and there's the lovely diamond ring. But you think of a girl being more taken up with the box, thinks it's lovely, cute, I'll treasure it forever. More taken up with the box than with the ring. You would say, how foolish. No one could be that foolish. Well, I want you to know that you're just the same. In fact, far worse. Do you know why? You're taken up with your body, and you have no thought for your soul. How is it with your soul today, men and women? Do you remember the words of Christ? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and you lose your own soul? What a tragedy that would be. That's a reality, men and women. May God write it on your heart as never before, the reality that your soul could be lost forever. You know, the first person ever to die in this world was a farmer. It was Abel. He was a man that was a keeper of sheep, and he died. In fact, it would be true to say he was murdered at the hand of his own brother, who was another farmer. Abel died and went to heaven, but Cain died and went to hell. The book of Jude says of Cain that he went out to the blackness of darkness forever. We're thinking of the farmers especially this harvest time, but we put the question to everyone in the meeting. Which will it be for you? When you die, maybe today, will it be heaven for you, or will it be hell? I'll tell you this as a finish. Mr. Dane mentioned a little leaflet, the Farming in the Future leaflet. Those are messages that we've had printed in the Farming Life over the last 2 to 3 years. We've been writing for the newsletter for something over 10. The church's page there on the Sunday every 6 weeks or so. And then there's a brother that does a lot of work with farms, with farmers, advertises regularly in the Farming Life. He had a burden to reach the farmers. He pays for the space in the paper. Takes almost half the page now. And he asked me to write the messages and provide the pictures and the text and so on. And we have been doing that. These, we produced them. This is the second one. We produced it especially to do outreach at Armagh Show. Some of the other churches like Clocker Valley have taken them for outreach at their show. The first issue, 31,000 of them, were printed and went to the ploughing match in the south to be given out with the calendars in the week past. So there's a good number of them there. Take them, take more than one and give them out to your farming friends and neighbours and anybody that works with the agricultural industry. The last of those messages was printed Saturday week ago. I wrote it about 6 weeks ago before I went on holiday in August. Sent it into the Farming Life as usual. Because of circumstances that were prevailing there at that time, there was a delay in it being published. It only came out the week after the funeral we had in the church. The title I put on that message way back 6 weeks ago was A Fatal Farm Accident. I never imagined when I wrote that message that we would face a fatal farm accident in our own congregation. Never imagined the Lord would bring us through the circumstances that he did. Let me tell you, just in closing, the story. You're familiar with the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. But I wonder, did you know that that hymn was written as a result of a fatal farm accident? An evangelist in the 19th century in America Dudley Ting was holding meetings in 1858 in the YMCA hall in Philadelphia, meetings for young people. Hundreds of young people were attending. Hundreds were getting saved, giving their lives to the Lord. During those meetings, he was working in a study, a little farm out in the country. He came out of the study for a little break to get a little bit of air. They were threshing that day on the farm. Went over to pat one of the mules that was driving the thresher, and the sleeve of his jacket got caught on one of the cogs and was pulled into the thresher. His arm was severely damaged. As a result of that, they had to amputate the arm, but his condition didn't get better. In fact, it got worse. And they realized he was going to die. So he called his good friend and associate to his side, Mr. George Duffield. He said, "George, I want you to go back to those young people in the YMCA hall in Philadelphia and give them this final message from me. I want you to tell them to stand up for Jesus." Not a good message for all the young people here today. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Duffy never forgot what Ting said to him that day. And he thought of those words and he sat down and he penned the words of that hymn. George Duffield's the author of it. They sang it for the first time at Dudley Ting's memorial service. It's hard to understand, men and women. There was a man of God doing a great work for the Lord in the midst of great evangelistic meetings when a real spiritual harvest was being gathered in. And the Lord saw fit to take him home, take him from this scene of time. There's a mercy, of course, in Dudley Ting's death and the fact that he was saved. The man that was taken away as a result of a fatal farm accident. And I want you to think of that, men and women. I saw some figures lately of the number of deaths on farms in the last 12 months or so. And the figure's still fairly high. You need to be careful. Ask the Lord for his help and his care day by day in all the work you do. But remember, men and women, most of all, you need to be careful about your soul. What if an accident were to befall you? We know not what a day will bring. We know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what this week will hold for you. And if you were to be taken away in circumstances similar to that, you need to ask yourself this morning, where would you be? The death of a farmer, the story of this passage, the death of a non-converted farmer, is that what would have to be said about you if you were taken away now from this scene of time? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? The wisest thing that you can do, men and women, in this world is to think about death, where you'll be in eternity. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. No wiser thing that you could do, and we urge you to do that today, and be sure it's well with your soul before you go from the service today. May God bless his word.
Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer and let's seek the face of the Lord. We're not going to sing a closing hymn, but I want to bring the challenge of what our brother has said to your heart today. And you know, it's an awful thing to dice with death and to dice with your soul. And surely it's about time that you came and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. You know, you take time today, you know, there are other things that you have to do and you have to go here or wherever, but surely you should take time and think about your soul. We'd love to speak to you, and you don't go away without the Lord Jesus Christ, but trust in him as your Saviour today. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do rejoice in thy word to our hearts, and Lord, it comes as a challenge, it comes as a wake-up call. And we pray, our God, that thou wouldst write that word upon hearts. Our God, we recognize the dangers that are all around us. We live in a world that's full of danger. full of all sorts of untoward accidents that take place. And our God, we cannot presume. And we pray, Lord, that we might not be so foolish as to presume. But Lord, that thou hast caused men and women to get right with thee and turn to know the one whom to know is life eternal. Our God, part us with thy blessing now. Write thy word upon hearts. We'd ask thee that thou would speak on when the voice of man is silent, and thy word might prevail to the salvation of precious souls. Do us good now. Be with us as we go. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen.